In that much beloved and long awaited movie sequel, Sing 2, we find the same lovable band of characters along with popular soundtrack that this underdog band of characters is trying to put on a hit show. And they are trying to recruit a retired, somewhat disgruntled musician that still has wide notoriety. But this movie brings back an iconic song by that Irish rock band U2, became popular in the 1980s. The song, I Still Haven't Found What I'm Looking For. Where it says, I have climbed the highest mountains, I have run through the fields only to be with you, but I still haven't found what I'm looking for. Interestingly, Bono, the lead singer of U2, had a meaningful friendship with Eugene Peterson, the translator of The Message. And when Peterson heard that Bono wanted to meet with him, he was quite skeptical. I mean, here is this teacher of theology and pastor of a church meeting with this lead singer of a hit rock band who wears shades indoors. But after that first meeting, Peterson was struck by the depth and honesty of the conversation about faith. I still haven't found what I'm looking for. Samuel Wells is the vicar of St. Martin in the Fields in London, and he says there are two kinds of longings. That first, there is the kind of longing or hunger that we can name, that we can put our finger on it, whether we are interviewing for a new job or longing to start a family or needing a new challenge or feeling that hunger of not having eaten for quite some time. But then there is the other kind of longing, one that we cannot name, that's far more elusive, but we feel it down deep in our bones, that it's not satisfied by a successful interview or a hot meal. That I still haven't found what I'm looking for. And it resonates with the prophet Isaiah, because when we are unsure what we are longing for and we cannot put our finger on it, it is easy to misuse our time or to misspend our energy. Where Isaiah says, why do you spend your money on that which is not bread, or labor for that which does not satisfy? Every worship service, we begin by chiming the hour. It calls us, it invites us to a different kind of time. It is like the ringing of the bells in the steeple, which long throughout history has been a sign, a signal for the people of God to gather for worship. That when we chime the hour, it says to us, God is here, and God is good. And we and what we do is not the center of this world. That it reminds us of that longing which is so difficult to name. And Lent is like the chiming of the hour. It calls us to slow down and focus our attention on what matters the most. That for 40 days, we recommit ourselves to the ways of Jesus. That we might give something up. Or we might add something to our lives. Or we might reclaim something we have lost. But the good news is we only do that for 40 days. That Lent does not stand back with a stern view on its face and demand permanent changes. It simply invites us for a short period of time to make temporary changes. That we give ourselves to limited changes for the sake of God's unlimited love. But it is amazing how that short period of time can turn out feeling really long. That our internal clocks seem to move faster than the second hands on our watches. That we want a quicker route to our destination, but a quicker route only gets us off course. That we lose sight of that bread which truly satisfies. In another movie, this time from the 1980s, that iconic basketball film, Hoosiers. Norman Dale, this washed-up basketball coach looking for a second chance, is hired to coach basketball and to teach in the tiny town of Hickory, Indiana. And when he arrives, walking into his classroom, he meets Myra Fleener, another teacher who warns him from the outset to stay away from Jimmy Chitwood, star basketball player in Hickory. That Myra convinced Jimmy not to play ball, to simply focus on his studies so he could get into college and leave Hickory behind. But everybody in town, at every turn, keeps telling Norman, you've got to get Jimmy to play. Well, Norman asks Myra why she doesn't want him to play basketball. If he's as good as everybody says he is, he would have thought a basketball scholarship would make sense. But Myra said, no one would see him play. No one ever comes to Hickory, Indiana. That Myra doesn't want Jimmy to play because if you can play ball in Hickory, she says, you are treated like a god. But Norman says, most people I know would give anything just to be treated like a god for a day. But Myra says, gods come pretty cheap these days. That we can lose sight of the bread which truly satisfies. That it is, as Anne Lamott writes, we learn through pain that some of the things that we thought were castles turned out to be prisons. And we desperately want out. But even though we built them, we cannot find the door. That we give ourselves to temporary things because they shape us in deep ways. They challenge us to think about what truly satisfies. that Lent is like that experiment by Destin Sandlin, who had to learn how to ride a backwards-brained bicycle. That where he works as an engineer, the welders like to play practical jokes on the engineers. So one day, a friend of his called him up and says, "I have a bike. I want you to try to ride." And he thinks, "Well, how hard could it be? It's literally like riding a bike." And the bike looked normal, but everything was backwards. If you turn the handlebars to the left, the bike went to the right. And if you turn the handlebars to the right, the bike went to the left. Well, since he knew what they had changed, he thought, "I can do this." But it took him 8 months of practicing every day just to ride the bike 15 feet. That he discovered there is a difference between knowing and understanding. That Lent is about a new understanding. Perhaps we have talked about worship, service, prayer, reading scripture all of our lives. Maybe we have thought about hospitality, kindness, and compassion. But during Lent, we recommit ourselves to such things because there's a difference in knowing and understanding. In fact, knowing can get in the way of understanding. As the psalmist says of God, "My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways." So we practice temporary things because they shape us in deep ways. That during Lent, we might invite someone to gather around our table at home with us who is different than the people who normally gather around our table at home with us. Or we might set aside social media for a short period of time in order to focus on the world that is around us and the people that are in front of us. Or we might look at our vocation differently, less as tasks to do and more as ways to serve others. Or we might try reading Scripture from a different point of view, stepping into somebody else's shoes and reading the same words on the page, but hearing something very different. That we might practice those things for a short amount of time, leading us to more understanding and inviting us to see the bread which truly satisfies, where we understand a little bit more what is so difficult for us to name. Amen.